Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good Friday to you. Oh, it is so much fun. I get to play radio with you for four whole hours. I have been waiting for this. It is just such a hoot to get to do this. And so, four whole hours ahead, during which we will explore a culture gone awry. I don't know what else you would say. It's just madness out there. Now, you may talk about anything you want. There is no particular subject matter that's off limits today, as long as it's, you know, arable. And you can do that by going to the Ingalls Advantage talk line. That is 800-347-1063. And always there is the common sense retirement planning text line, which is 71307. All of those will work for you. So I want to share kind of an interesting little social experiment I did today. I got a shirt. I found this shirt online that I just really liked, and I'm wearing it right now. It says, "Hell yes, I voted for Trump, and I'm going to do it again in 2020. So I had to do some show prep, and I decided I would go, which I frequently do this, go over to Whole Foods. They have a nice, healthful buffet there, so I can sit and eat some lunch and spread all my stack of stuff out on the table there and do show prep. But I thought, okay, this will be interesting. So let's find out what sort of reaction I get wearing this Trump-supporting T-shirt in a place that has a fair number of people that I would guess not only aren't Trump supporters, but probably, well, that was the idea anyway. I thought, okay, let's see what kind of response I get by wearing this shirt. So I just spent some time walking around in the store just saying, well, let me tell you that the opprobrium, based on the looks that I got, was palpable. No, I had no one verbally confront me. Though had they done so, I was prepared, you'd be happy to know, I was going to say, well, thank you for your opinion, and isn't it nice that we live in a country where we can express our opinions without fear of harassment and, oh, well, now, wait a minute, man, I take that back, because then we got to take into consideration Antifa and the over 350 documented cases of harassment against people who spoke up for Trump. So maybe we're not there after all. Now, I will grant you, and I had this conversation with my delightful, beautiful Pernilla, because she's, oh, honey, she's Swedish. Darling, please don't go out and cause me. I'm not causing trouble. I'm expressing something I feel publicly. But and one of the reasons I wanted to do it is because I wanted to observe just how far we have gone. Here in the South, in the conservative South Carolina, I mean, I know what it's like in Portland or Seattle or San Francisco or someplace. If I wore the shirt there, I'm pretty certain I'd end up having somebody physically try to assault me, which would probably be a big mistake on their part. But even here, I was really quite surprised. And so I want to start with just some observations about where are we now? Because essentially, hating Trump has now become a religion for the left. It is no more of just an opinion. It has become the cause celeb for them. There is a hardcore group of people in this country that literally this is all they talk about, think about, and if you get in their way, and you can look this up, there have been numerous, over last time I checked, 358 documented cases of people who've been assaulted and harassed. And, of course, we know Steve Scalise was shot. So many examples of all of this. So I was sitting on my deck up in Tryon. I live kind of up the side of a hill, and it's kind of like living in a treehouse. It's just delightful. I sit out there amongst all of those big old giant hardwoods all around me, and it's just heaven. And I sit out there and I read and think and talk to God sometimes or whatever. And so the other day I was sitting out on my deck and I saw this hawk flying. I've seen this many times up there. You've probably witnessed this same thing. This hawk's flying, and all of a sudden these crows come, three or four crows come squawking, and they're chasing and trying, they're swooping down and trying, and they finally kind of chase this hawk away. They were harassing this hawk. Well, it turns out, I went and did a little research, that birds engage in an activity called mobbing. You can look this up, mobbing. It's a bird thing. And that's what it is. It happens when one or more members of a particular species of bird, sometimes several different ones in concert, will chase or dive bomb or surround usually a predator type of a bird, like a raptor. And the intent of it, of these attacks, is to encourage the enemy bird to get the heck out of there and go away. So it occurred to me, as I was reading the news about, among other things, Maxine Waters, who has encouraged crowds to harass, like the birds do, members of the Trump administration and people who support them. She was out there talking about it today. A bunch of her people burned an American flag yesterday in the process of all of this. And the mobbers, they say it's a matter of self-defense. They believe that they have a righteous call to arms in this country to harass and mob people they don't agree with. Now, that word mob is an important word, because if you go back and you study our history, you will find out that one of the reasons we are a republic and not a democracy is our founding fathers were very concerned about the mob. It hadn't been that long since the French Revolution. And so we know what can happen, and they understood mob rule, and thus we are not a democracy. Don't ever let – if anybody calls this country a democracy, they don't know what they're talking about. We're not. Democracy is it's the majority plus one, and that is – that is a dangerous thing, because it gives the potential for half of the population to redistribute wealth by taking it away from others who have achieved more. They knew this. They were landowners. This was important, that they find a way to make this a representative republic, which is what we are. Thus, we have the Electoral College for presidential elections, and that's why you I'm sure you've heard, had the left, well, she won the popular vote. Doesn't matter. That's not how this works here. We're not France. We're not Spain or any other country. We're the United States, and that's the form of government we have. But here's where we are. So we have a duly elected president. The left lost. And now it has created what is shaping up to be a mob. Mob rule. Mania. Literally, people have lost their mind and their grounding. So I want to kind of explore this a little bit, and I'd love to hear what you might have to say on this subject as well, because it is one that bears a lot of watching when you consider the historical potential of what can happen if the mobs gain control. So I'm Tony Dale, sitting in for Bobby Mack today. Hope that you will weigh in on things yourself. Be back after this. Howdy. Happy Friday to you. Yeah, a bit of a song from a man down under. So a couple of things on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Are you sure it wasn't an owl the crows were mobbing? Crows will gang up on owls. They'll gang up on pretty much any raptor or predator type of bird. Here's a good one. Tony, I wonder, how many of the assaults on people about hating Trump happened where, quote, we the people have a better chance of having concealed weapons permits? Probably not as many. That is for sure. And here's a good one. Tony, please tell me why, if a company makes more money, it is called profit, but if the worker starts getting paid more, it is called inflationary. How did business school start teaching this wrong-headed philosophy? Adam Smith didn't believe this, did he? Straighten me out. Well, there's no need, obviously. you are straight, because that is exactly right. But I would tell you, business schools today, what passes for economics is just shockingly out of touch with reality. This whole Keynesian philosophy and what it has led to with the Federal Reserve and this just incalculable debt that has been created is so far away from free market capitalism as to be almost unrecognizable. So here's another one. Tony, thank you for filling in for Bobby. Listen to your Common Sense Retirement Show. It's because you and your coworkers, I have been planning to retire by 60. I'm 30. Well, good for you. God bless you for being on top of that. Okay, so let me get to another thought on this whole mobocracy that's underway. And it leads to a larger conversation, which is, how is it possible for minorities, small minorities even, to control the entire population? And it happens and has happened many times. There's a science to studying it, actually. But I believe, and I will lead this thought off with a survey that was done here a week or so back, that 31% of people in a Gallup poll say that they believe that we are very near having a civil war. That's a third almost of the entire population that already is beginning to see these, if you will, storm clouds. And you can see it in the absolute unhinged behavior. I don't know whether you should go look it up. I won't bother to play it for you. But on The View, Whoopi the Fool Goldberg and Joy the Behar and the rest of those cackling hens invited Judge Jeanine Pirro on the show, who is a Trump supporter. Okay, so they were just like a mob, just like those crows. They'd ask her questions. She'd start giving them logic and facts to answer the question. And they would begin to talk over her, change the subject, and so on. And it just devolved. It got worse and worse. They got more exorcised to the point where finally Whoopi asked her to leave the show, kicked her off the show that they invited her on. They had completely lost it. And then, according to Jeanine, later in the green room, Whoopi followed her in there and was dropping F-bombs on her and spewing spittle all over her while she was just infuriated. This is unhinged behavior. And so I think that we are on the cusp of something we really never experienced as a country, which is something we should have dire fear of, mob rule. And if you're going to have mob rule, the one thing you have to have are witch hunts, or the modern equivalent thereof. In other words, you have to continually supply enemies for the mob. And if you go back and study French history, remember Robespierre was one of the architects of the French Revolution. He himself, later a victim of a mob, strangely lost his head. There's an irony for you. But here's the lesson, and it's one we should be paying close attention to. For mobs, there's never enough. Once the mob gets to going, then it just keeps going. And whole communities did in France and in Russia and in other countries historically passively surrender to mob rule in the face of all this civil unrest. And that is what can happen. There's this bloodlust that gets to going. Pretty soon, and you see this, we have seen this on television countless times, Baltimore, Chicago, the mob gets to going, And pretty soon, it just devolves into nothing but chaos. And the Antifa movement is a mob. It is being actively encouraged by the left to go out and follow this animalistic behavior in any normal time would be unfit behavior in our country, country of laws. And I will grant you, not everybody that is, doesn't like Donald Trump is a member of Antifa, but all of the Antifas are undoubtedly Democrats and liberals. And we have seen, as I mentioned, over 358 to date documented acts of violence by far-left Democrats, which is a mob, right? So this is being advocated by the left. Maxine Waters, as I mentioned, openly calling for harassment. CNN ran, I don't know whether you caught this, a hypothetical quote, "What if Trump was brutally murdered?" before the inauguration segment that happened. Keith Olbermann openly begged for foreign intelligence agencies to overthrow the United States. I mean, this is scary stuff. And at some point, this nation of laws, we have to be willing to say, you know what, this is dangerous, enough is enough. Here's the problem with it. You're listening to me on a talk radio station. I obviously am a conservative and a Trump supporter, and many of you, I would say most of you, are. But the problem is virtually the rest of the press has become actually the megaphone through which this madness, I don't know what else you would call it, is being issued and given credence, no less, as truth, which it is not. And that is doing a great disservice to the what was once United States of America. If any one group of people deserves blame for what is going on in this mobocracy trend that seems to be underway, more than any, I blame the press and the way that they cover with great hatred anything that Trump does, hide any good thing that may have come as a result of him or any conservative actions, and hide the nefarious behaviors, the violent mob-like behaviors of the people who are from the, quote, progressive, I would have to call them the regressive movement. Where did they ever come up with that word? So I think that one of the greatest dangers we have in this country is right before our very eyes. We're being beat over the head with it daily from the mainstream press, which begs a question. Where do we go from here? What might we do to change that? What will happen in the upcoming midterm elections, and even more, what will happen in 2020? Well, there's so many things that haven't happened yet that are going to determine that. But I would be interested to hear what you would have to say about kind of the narrative I've got, or anything else for that matter, because I'm about out of time for this segment. Oh, yes, by the way, the word of the hour, for those of you playing and would like to win the money, is, am I right, yell? YELL is the word, if you want to text that in. It isn't the text number they text it into is 72881. All right. Now, let us check in with the always lovely, delightful, and intelligent Annie Robards and find out what is going on in the world. Well, howdy, happy Friday. Also, if you don't want to call, you want to text, go to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 71307, to which we repair right now. Tony, how much more berserk will the left become when this new Supreme Court nominee is confirmed and they lose the midterms? My friend, there is flat no telling, but if everything we're seeing now is just a warm-up. I would say buckle your seatbelts because it's going to get pretty dang interesting. Tony, the problem with our media and the printed press is that they don't just report the news. They interpret the news to fit their agenda instead of giving us the facts. They tell us how we should feel about them. Absolutely correct. Tony, this is Carl Childers listening to you at the Nervous Hospital with that fellow, Mr. T. I'm not sure what that means. Here's another one. The current political environment is an American version of apartheid. That's interesting. Seems like you can't. Now, this is. I'll tell you a story about the kind of answer to this guy here. It seems like you can't speak out about Trump in public, kind of like you can't speak out about God in public. Crazy. Well, God bless America and all of her people. Okay, so tell you another little story. It's one of the reasons I did my social experiment today with this shirt that I'm wearing up, which you, if you're just joining me, I have this wonderful shirt I found on the internet that says, hell yes, I voted for Trump and I'll do it again in 2020, which I wore today to Whole Foods, which you can just look around the room and tell. And boy, the looks I got from those people around the room, fair few of them were anything but pleasant, tells us that there is a fair bit of animus floating through the atmosphere there. So to answer this fellow's text, so there is a place in Tryon where I live, and I will tell you, Tryon is an interesting little community because you have the people who are the natives that grew up there, and by and large, just everyday, regular, Christian, conservative people. You also have a lot of people who have moved in and are continuing to move in to that area, just like they have in Asheville and Hendersonville and a lot of other places, from very liberal states and have brought with them that same liberal philosophy. Well, there's a little, shall we call it, a wine shop there in Tryon. And every Friday they have a little get-together there, and people gather and chat and drink wine, smoke cigars and chat and have a good old time. Well, so I was in the gym the other day. A friend of mine there said, you know, my husband was in there a while back, and somebody said, well, there better not be any Trump supporters in here. And he was, and felt kind of intimidated and left. And it kind of goes to exactly what you're saying. When you reach a point in your culture where you literally are afraid that you will be called to task for stating something that you believe, whether it's your faith in God or your belief that Trump is a good guy and doing a good thing, you are treading in dangerous waters, because that is the antithesis of everything this country was designed to be. And this divisiveness that we're discussing here is a dangerous thing, and I will tell you why. There is an interesting piece. You may not know if you're not into kind of investing and economics, the name Nassim Taleb, but he wrote a book some years back called Black Swan, which became just an enormous bestseller, in particular to people in the world of investing and kind of the stuff that I do with Common Sense Retirement Planning. Well, anyway. And he's a very interesting, very intellectual guy. Well, he wrote a piece recently, the name of which was The Dictatorship of Small Minorities. There's actually a science. He was part of a group that was studying this. So I'm just going to read a couple little quick quotes because it sort of goes to our point. It suffices for an intransigent minority, a certain type of intransigent minorities, to reach minutely small levels, say 3 or 4% of a total population, for the entire population to have to submit to their preferences. And consider this manifestation, he writes, of the dictatorship of minorities. For example, in the United Kingdom now, where practicing Muslim population is only 3 or 4%, a high number, very high number of the meat we find is halal for them. Close to 70% of the lamb import from New Zealand are halal. Close to 10% of the chain Subway carry halal-only stores, meaning no pork. And in spite of the high cost from the loss of business of the non-pork stores. And he goes on to basically make a point how scientifically studied you will find that a very small amount of minority people are capable of having an outsized effect upon that society, and in the long term have the ability to literally take over society. And the obvious, you can look at the Soviet Union, how the Bolsheviks did this, how the fascists did it through Hitler and the brown shirts. They were a minority of people and were able to control the country. You go further back, you will see this is what happened in the French Revolution and also our revolution. It's estimated that fewer than 15% of the population here in the colonies participated in fighting the British. But we prevailed, and it's a good thing we did. So that is why we should have some real concern about what's going on and really have a conversation as a nation, as a culture, about how do we deal with this mobocracy, this incredible animus and violence that they are willing to use, Antifa being the best example of this. Anyway, love to know what you think. We're going to take a break, come back and have more. Tony Dale sitting in for Bob McLean back after this. Howdy. Welcome back. I'd love to hear from you on the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063, or the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, which is 71307. And there's a good text on here now. I've been on Mars for the last couple of years. What happened to the Dems' constant demand for bipartisanship? Oh, well, they still demand bipartisanship, but the definition probably isn't what you think it means. To the left, bipartisanship means all of the Republicans have to go over to their side of the aisle and do whatever they want to do. And that's bipartisanship. And part of what's happened to all of that is starting back a few years ago, we had the Tea Party movement began to get involved. The average American began to awake. We started to get some conservatives up there, like the Freedom Caucus boys and girls. And slowly but surely, bipartisanship is kind of going by the wayside. And I say, hallelujah, praise God, because the way it has been practiced has just been anything but. We've been talking a great deal this hour about where we are as a country, and the ironic name of the United States of America, which is sad to say, at the moment, I think you'd have to agree, ironic. Unlike the Alanis Morissette song, which has any number of examples in it which really aren't an irony, isn't it ironic? This really is, and not funny irony either. Because here's the simple truth of it. We have elected Donald Trump. And the left not only has never gotten over this, they continue to grow in anger. They become more violent, as I've mentioned, this whole mobocracy. And the as Nassim Taleb piece I shared a little earlier points out, what's called the dictatorship of small groups, of small minority of people can have an outsized. I will give you one of the perfect example. There was a story today. I don't know that I brought it in, but there's a movement out there now where parents in some of these progressive communities are not naming their babies names that have any gender connection whatsoever, nor are they telling their children what they are. They're allowing their children to decide at whatever point whether they're going to be boys or girls, and they think this is a really good thing. psychologist in this article that was quoted said, well, that may seem like a noble thing, but the fact is that it's going to be very difficult for these children when they grow up and have to go into the larger world to discover that, yes, indeed, there really are differences between the sexes, and you don't get to decide. But you see, how did we get there? How did we get to a place where we actually have conversations about LGBTQ and all of the rest of this stuff when we know factually that we're talking about 5% or less of the entire population is of those groups? But if you watch television, if you were, as this fellow called wrote in on the text line, if you'd been on Mars and then you came back and you just turned on the television set and you hadn't watched TV for 10, 15 years— you would find that now, and I find this because my wife and I watch Netflix a lot, that it is almost every program that has some. You would think that the number of people who are gay in this country or have some sort of gender issue or transgenders or whatever, you would think that they probably, based on TV characters and portrayals, are 25%, 30% of the population, which of course they're not. And this has nothing to do with, you know, no judgment one way or another. My point is this is how small groups of people begin to exert outsized control on the larger community whose belief system is quite different. And that is, I think, what you're seeing in what is going on. Because every survey I've seen on who actually makes up the radical hard left, it's about 27% of the population. And you could say equally that the hard right, that's roughly 33-34% of the last survey. There are a lot of people that are in the middle. They're conservative on certain issues, more liberal or on others. And I believe that what the left is doing is going to chase and is chasing that middle group away from their radical beliefs and ever more toward the broader beliefs of the people who voted for Donald Trump. They don't. Everything I see in surveys shows that people are believing the press less and less. Why? Because they have one drumbeat and it's all anti-Trump, and people are just not buying it anymore. And trust in the press has fallen off. Viewership has fallen off dramatically. Readership at the major newspapers has fallen off. I read the other day the Drudge Report, which is I wouldn't call it a conservative site, but it's a fair site because you can read everything that anybody writes. It's an aggregator site is what it is. But it's a great site to read because you will get a fair, balanced, truly headlines, and you can make your own mind up. Drudge now has more hits. More people are reading the Drudge Report than are reading the New York Times or the Washington Post or the network websites. That is a positive sign because it means that people are beginning to become their own news editors and just not accepting whole cloth the pablum that is being spewed out from the mainstream press and being called news, which it isn't. Well, anyway, so I tell you what, we've got about time to take a break. We'll come back. I have a lot more to talk to you about. One of the things that I think is worth having a conversation on is this whole Russiagate thing, this constant attempt to try to use that as a bludgeon for Trump. Where is all this going, and at what point does it just fall over? And what might Trump do to change all of that? So there's all that, and we'll take your phone calls. Stick around. Oh, yes, and those phone calls, lest I forget, are at 800-347-1063. There's also the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. And one last time, the word of the hour is?
It's getting ready to change.
It's getting ready to change, and we'll tell you what it is in the next hour? Yes.
Right now,
okay, stick around.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.